as we come together again for our evening worship, to do so singing the praises of our God from Psalm 65. Psalm 65, and we're singing the first four verses of that psalm. Praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord. To thee vows paid shall be. O thou that hearer art of prayer, all flesh shall come to thee. Iniquities, I must confess, prevail against me do. But as for our transgressions, then purge away shalt thou. Blessed is the man whom thou dost choose and makest approach to thee, that he within thy courts, O Lord, may still a dweller be. We surely shall be satisfied with thine abundant grace and with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy place. Psalm 65, praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord.
Praise waits for thee.
Draw near to the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Once again, our Lord and our God, we put our place in obedience. We come before thee to worship thee, and we're conscious of our need and our dependence upon thee to guide us in this, the highest privilege that any man can experience, the source of greater blessing than all the world may hold out and offer, and the way in which there is a stretching before us, a firm assurance and confidence concerning the future, because of all our interests are committed to thine hand. So, Lord our God, we pray that we might draw near to thee, thou who art our God and our Lord, that we may draw near to thee to worship thee in a way which thou hast appointed, set, and is acceptable to thee. Not so much the outward display, a performance of things that the world may value and look for, but may we examine ourselves more clearly and in our hearts, that there we may come with the worship depth from the depth of our soul, praising and worshipping thee for the way in which thou hast made available unto thy believing people a way of return unto thyself, to come with a sure acceptance from thine hand, clothed in the righteousness which is acceptable in thy sight. And asking, O Lord, that thou wouldst bless us and enrich our souls once again as we come before thee to worship. We are indeed a dependent people, O Lord, especially in these the highest privileges given unto us. And we exhibit that dependence always in the way in which we need to come before thee in prayer, asking that thou wouldst meet us in our need and that thou wouldst bless us in the privileges we now have. Thou dost know each one of us alone and apart, where we've come from, the experiences we've had, and what the days of the future might hold for us. And right now, at the very point of our need, with all of that and knowledge thou dost have of us, we ask, Lord, that thy word might have a point and purpose in addressing each and every one of us. That we might hear not so much the word of man speak, but that we might hear the voice of heaven addressing our souls. Whether that be with challenge if we're strangers to thee, or with comfort if we are thine own and are going through hard and difficult phases and times. If we've got concerns that are weighing upon our soul, and anxieties that gather around our feet. Whatever might be the circumstances of thy people, our prayer, O Lord, is that thou wouldst meet with us at the very point of our need this night, and that we might go from our meeting here this evening with the testimony that it was good for us to be here with thyself. We ask of thee, our Lord and our God. We pray that thou wouldst open thy word as we sing portions of it, read it and meditate upon it a while, that it would be truly sweetness to our soul, a light to our path, and an encouragement to continue in the way that we've set our face and our feet to go in. Lord, we are underneath the scrutiny of the world constantly as to how we respond to the pressures they have to cope with themselves. May we exhibit a light and a witness and a testimony to the dependence we have on thy wisdom and the way we can draw upon thy strength to take us through in an altogether different way than the people round about us so do. And we ask, Lord, especially that in our day and in our generation, where there is so much indifference or complacency, quicken thy people, O Lord, we pray, that we might strike up a light and a testimony for thyself, wherever thou hast put us to live in these days. May we be open and sensitive to opportunities that come our way, as doors are opened for us. We know not what might lie on the other side of them, but we depend upon thee, O Lord, to give us the wisdom and the words appropriate to the situation we might end up in. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy word as it is shared amongst ourselves and with others round about us. We ask of thee, Lord, that it would be indeed a powerful, mighty instrument underneath the operation and the blessing of thy Spirit, that thou wouldst convict, that thou wouldst disturb, even as we've already been thinking this morning. We pray, Lord, for that experience, healthy and wholesome as it is, that people would be terrified at the prospect of meeting with thyself, that the bad news might come home with all of its enormity and solemnity to people, and that they might realize their need of a Saviour. So, Lord, we ask of thee that thou wouldst come in with us. Come in with us as a congregation. Come in with us as our church. Remember thy witness of thy people throughout the length and the breadth of our land tonight. And we pray and we ask, O Lord, that there would be truly an anointing from heaven on the preaching of this thine own word. And may we hold on to the promise given in faith and expectation that it would not return to thee void, but accomplish the purpose to which thou didst send it. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be mindful of us and come in with us and bless us. Lay thine hand upon each one of us alone and apart. And we pray, our Lord and our God, for young and old alike, that there might be something good for our soul from being here together this evening. Deal with us, Lord, in thy grace, and pardon us our sin. For all of these things we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake and glory. Amen. Can we open the door? The air will get in and the people in Inver will hear us singing. Let us continue our worship by singing in part of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we're reading to sing at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine, and to observe it to the end I shall my heart incline. Give understanding unto me, so keep thy law shall I. Yea, even with my whole heart I shall observe it carefully. In thy law's path make me to go, for I delight therein. My heart unto thy testimonies, and not to greed incline. Turn thou away my sight and eyes from viewing vanity, and in thy good and holy way be pleased to quicken me. Confirm to me thy gracious word, which I did gladly hear, even to thy servant, Lord, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn thou away my fear, reproach, for good thy judgments be. Lo, for thy precepts I have longed, in thy truth quicken me. Psalm 119 at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way.
Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way.
Understanding unto me.
Our reading this evening is from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, and Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and I'm just going to read the first 27 verses or so of that psalm. Let us read and hear God's word. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. Amen, and may the Lord grant to us blessing and understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We sing and continue our praise, this time coming to the words of Psalm 62. Psalm 62, and we're breaking in to read and sing from verse 5 of that psalm to verse 9, five stanzas. My soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defense, I shall not moved be. In God my glory placed is, and my salvation sure. In God the rock is of my strength, my refuge most secure. Ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is our refuge high. Surely mean men are vanity, and great men are a lie. In balance laid, they wholly are more light than vanity. Psalm 62, then, from verse 5 through to verse 9, my soul, wait thou with patience.
My soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation.
If you turn back to the portion of the scriptures we read a moment ago, to the book of Psalms and Psalm 37. And I want to look at different themes and encouragements that come from this psalm that are appropriate perhaps for us today. The one theme that we had from our morning meditation was the variety of ways in which God meets with and deals with and speaks to and with his people. It's always appropriate. It's always effective. It's always measured and accurate. For the characters, we all are different as we are. When God created us, he threw the mold away after doing so. The experiences we've had along the path of life, the situations we've got to be in and facing both tomorrow and come from yesterday. We saw that this morning in the way in which the words of Paul were measured precisely for the situation addressing Felix and Drusilla, addressing the character of the person he was dealing with and speaking to. But that's only one example. We can find so many others in Scripture. The people on the road to Emmaus, they were down in the mouth. They had so much expectation built around what the Lord was saying to them. They went along the road, and as they walked, one person came and joined in with them. And as he did so, he opened the Word. And gave the greatest Bible studies ever. when he set forth before them the Old Testament passages that spoke of himself. And they rejoiced as they heard what he had to say. On the other hand, we've got Nathan having to deal with David after the sin with Bathsheba. And he didn't miss the point. He went straight to it with David, having told the story about the man who used a sheep from another man. And the way in which David was so angry at the thought. And Nathan says, "You are the man." Belshazzar, the way in which he had a party, great party, 1,000 guests, took all the temple vessels and ornaments and such like, and he had a party using them for his own means in that party. And the way in which the Lord intervened in a dramatic way, as we were reminded of this morning. Moses. Moses, he longed to enter into the land of promise. I believe he would have asked the Lord many times for that privilege to be given to him. And the Lord was patient with him as he dealt with him. But there came a point, right at the beginning, in the first few chapters of Deuteronomy, there came a point when the Lord says, "Enough is enough." Chapter 3 and verse 24 we read, "O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said to me, let it suffice thee. Enough is enough. Speak no more to me of this matter." Yes, the line was drawn. Nothing more needs to be said. And so it goes on. We can find umpteen examples of people where the Lord speaks very particularly, specifically to them in a way that is measured to their needs alone. So what do we have here in Psalm 37? We have here the psalmist, and he's taking us for a walk through the Christian's life and the different things that we might meet along the way. The experiences that the Christian has to go through, the problems and the difficulties to be faced, overcome, challenges to our faith and our outlook, for him, for us. And how does the Lord do it in this psalm, dealing with the psalmist? How does the Lord do that to us and with us? I'm going to suggest very simply and briefly, there are 8 points I want to bring out. And I want to do it very specifically, 8 bullet points. Because that's exactly what is happening to the psalmist here. The Lord is firing at him, at all his people, to equip us and him to meet these problems along the path of life. He has identified important problems, and he's now giving solutions to these problems. It doesn't come out at all in the English translation before us, but in the original Hebrew, there are verses in pairs. Verses 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6. And the first letter of that pair begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verses 1 and 2 begins with A. Verses 3 and 4 begins with B. Verses 5 and 6 begin with C, and so on. You can see the way in which it takes a lot of time and preparation to get that structure into this psalm. And it's done for a very specific purpose, to help it to be remembered when it needs in life to come out there. Bullet points. Specific verses. Letters given to aid the remembrance. He's teaching the psalmist, he's teaching us things that we need to know to live tomorrow for him. So let's go on it. The first bullet point, right at the very beginning, fret not. Verse 1, verse 7, verse 8, fret not, fret not, fret not. It's important. He repeats it. What does it mean? It means don't let the worries about what's going on round about you burn you up and consume you inside. Fret not thyself. Why? Because of evildoers. Don't be envious as to what they've got by work iniquity. It's a danger, a real danger that he highlights for them, and we know ourselves. So he repeats the warning. And then in verse 8, he does something even more remarkable. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Yes, he's specific up to this point. Don't get worried about this, that, or the other situation. And besides all that, he puts down a lavish, comprehensive injunction. Don't get any worried about anything. There's a constant pressure we have. There are those who have, and there are those who have not. And so often, people will speak against the Christian. Well, I've got, and you don't. Where's your God now? People will throw everything at us to attack us, to try to make us uncomfortable, to put us down in any way they can. We have a different lifestyle. And that can be very thing that's thrown up. Where has your lifestyle got you? What has it done for you? There you are. You go out on a Wednesday night to the prayer meeting. You go out to church twice on a Sunday. Come on, tell me. What's it done for you? And that is thrown at us time after time after time. Look at what I've got and you don't have. And the psalmist is saying, don't worry, be concerned about these things. But yet they do sometimes get at us. Sometimes when we're tired, when we're old, when we're ill. These are the things that slip underneath our guard and sometimes can get at us. But the psalmist is saying, don't let them get to you. Don't get heated up. Don't let them burn you up inside, because that's what will happen if you let them in. It's a lesson of grace to look at the most difficult providences and paradoxes in our Christian life and living. It's a lesson of grace to look at all of these things with a calm spirit, with this simple exercise of assurance that the Lord is righteous in all of his acts. We need to take our Christian principles and think them through on a daily basis. It might not be easy, but it's got to be learned to do it. Have a spiritual perspective on men and people, prospects, providences, plans for the future. Fret not. When you see other people and the way that they live, don't let these things get to you, because they'll only burn you up inside. Putting it simply like this before we move on. Don't overvalue the sunshine of the wicked. Neither undervalue the inheritance of the Christian. Don't overvalue the sunshine of the wicked. neither undervalue the inheritance of the Christian. So there you have the first bullet point, fret not. But then he comes to verse 3 and he says, trust in the Lord. Faith cures fretting. Faith cures fretting. It corrects the spiritual distortion that we can have, or a lack of application and understanding that we've got in our life and living. We need to take, as we've said, Christian principles and wrap them around our Christian problems and work out the whole picture for ourselves. That's what's happening here. Look at what he says. Verse 12. Well, this is one example of what happens. The wicked plot against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. That's what happens sometimes to you and me. People speak against us, trip us up and try to make life difficult for us. And we've got to take that and we've got to put it into a spiritual perspective, which is, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Come on, think through the full biblical picture you've got. Don't focus on one aspect of it alone. Who's going to have the last laugh? The Lord does. Think it through. Again, go down to verse 14, 15. The wicked have drawn out the sword, they've bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay such as be of an upright conversation. There again you have the kind of situation addressed. Life is made difficult for the Christian. People are making it troublesome for us. What does he goes on to say in verse 15? Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. We have that saying, do we not? What goes around comes around. Take these problems and look at them and think them through in a biblical framework, trusting in the Lord. If we assess things by our own standards, we will make mistakes. But we better rely on the Lord. We have our clear faith. We have a sharper insight, keeping our eyes fixed upon the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have there a vast army coming against God's people. And when you go down through 2 Chronicles 20, when you come down to verse 12, there is the leader gathering all the people together and rehearsing the history of where they are and what they've got to meet and how they've got to overcome it. And he says in the most amazing thing, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are fixed on you. Trusting in the Lord in the face of such a fearful battle, leaving things in the hands of the Lord. And to do so with the assurance that he cares, he's wise, and he's much more committed to the good of his people than we can ever, ever explain or experience. When we are in tight corners, when our back is against the wall, so often we want a change, we want a move, we want to get out. Because of all the hostility that's coming our way from the testimony we raise and the work we're engaged in, Lord, I want to go somewhere else. How often we've thought like that. We want a way. And so often the Lord says, no, stay put and I will provide for you. That's exactly what Paul was facing when he had that thorn in his flesh that gives us in the letter to the Corinthians. And he says to the Lord, look, I can be much more effective as a minister. I can do much more work as an evangelist. If only this was taken away. If only this was moved. And the Lord says, no, it's staying. But I'll provide the grace that is needed for you to cope with it. That's what we need in these our days. To stay where the Lord has put us, because he will supply every need for us along the way. In Joshua chapter 23, right at the very beginning, we're told that there was a time of extended peace in the land. Things had settled down. Joshua's life was just coming to an end, and he was conscious that he is coming to an end. He's got to think of some wise counsel to give to God's people as he goes and leaves them for the last time. What can I say? What will they remember after I've gone? And there in chapter 23, Joshua engages in a very short summary of the history of God's dealings with the people. This is what God has done for you. This is what God has done for you. And he lays it on the line for them. And because you've got all these good things from God, you ought to obey him and walk in his way. And he uses a word in both 23 verse 8 and in verse 11. He says, cleave to the Lord. Cleave to the Lord. Stick closely by the Lord. Renew your obedience and your commitment. And when you do that, there will be no danger coming your way. A quote from another proverb. We had one this morning. Let me give another one tonight. Proverbs chapter 3 reads like this at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What an amazing counsel that is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It is full-scale, comprehensive, practical commitment to the Lord. It's not just simply a little bit here and there. It's not now and then. It's not when I feel like it or I want to do it. Here we have an all-embracing, exclusive requirement set before God's people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So that's the second bullet point that we're given. Fret not, trust not. Verse 4, he goes on, delight in the Lord. And this follows on from what we've been thinking of. We know the way in which worry and pressure, it robs us of our joy. At least in some measure. We feel we're under a cloud. We feel that we need to get out in some way and to get away. If only we can break out into the sunshine. If only we can get this cloud away from our horizon. What does he say to us? Don't think of the negative. Think of the positive. Think of who you are, what you are, and how you came to be what you are. You are a redeemed soul by the Lord God himself, who sent his son to die on a cross, shedding his blood, that you and I might go free. Now that's an astonishing stone we can stand on. Argument we can deploy. And comfort along the path of life. We sometimes develop tunnel vision. We are too much involved and occupied by what's going on in the world about us. Oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week to all the plans I've made? And so often we can be so preoccupied with these things that the pressure squeezes out other things. And the Lord so often tells us, stop. He presses the pause button on our life. And he tells us, take time out. Take time out just to think of the vast scale of the salvation to flood your soul. And let your delight be focused there, drawn from that, and be a joy each and every life day you live. Think of him. Right at the very beginning in Psalm 1, it talks about the person, the believer there, soaking his life in God's word. Well, we can all think back to days before automatic washing machines. We can all think back to how they did things a long way back then. If clothes were dirty, they were put into a basin and they were left to soak. And soak. And soak. And only after quite a long time were they taken out and thumped and cleaned and came out beautiful. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying. Soak your soul in God's word. Not just simply that brief exposure and reading you might have every now and again, perhaps. He's saying, take time out to soak your soul in it. That's what he says to the disciples when they came back after their first mission. And the Lord says, there's too much going on here. Come apart and rest a while. He says that to us. The psalmist in Psalm 46 says it. Be still and know. Be still and know the Lord. Fill your heart with good things from the Lord. When that cup is overflowing with joy, when the blessings of the Lord are the fulsome delight to our soul, then is a time of robust strength to resist all of these pressures that come our way. This morning, we were talking about the pail and the sand and everything it went into to fill it up. Well, let me use that for the young ones tonight. When you've got the pail, your life, and it's filled with all the good things that God can give you and has given you, when you have your pail of life and your memory in operation and your mind being trawled for these remembrances of what God has done for you, when that's the delight and activity of your soul, there's no room for anything to go into that bucket, into that pail. There's no room for anything else to get in. That's what the psalmist is saying. Delight in the Lord. And the word that is used here particularly is not just simply in verse 4. It's the same word that's used in verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. It's a strong word. It's a profound, permanent word. It's speaking about delight and it's speaking about peace. That's not moved because of providence. It doesn't pass away because of the years. It's not prized out of the possession of the Christian's hand. This delight that has been set before us here is a Christian delight focused upon what the Lord has done to redeem his soul. The Lord doing it, bringing it to pass. The blessings that come to us because of them. The way in which they're new and fresh every morning. The way in which the Lord has done such amazing things for the likes of you and me. Delight in the Lord. All that he has done for us. So yes, fret not, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord. Fourth bullet point. Verse 5. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also him. Gather all your concerns together. Gather all the problems you've got. We have, I just wrote it down, we have a hymn that we can all maybe remember. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Commit our problem, our life, our ways to the Lord. Yes, we've got to give an answer to every problem that comes our way, as far as we can give an answer. But there are times when we can't. And sometimes that delay makes things worse for us. But the normal pattern that's given to us in Scripture, Proverbs chapter 16, speaks about rolling our concerns to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 talks about casting our cares upon him. And the idea is, first of all, the rolling is because they're big and heavy and they need to be rolled, and that's the only way they can be moved. Whereas in Peter, it is throwing them because they're smaller and lighter and easier to dispose of. But what it's saying is comprehensive, big or small, commit our ways to the Lord. Yes, there are times when we don't immediately see an answer. But think of the farmer in that instance. The farmer, he prepares the ground. He plants the corn. He feeds the ground. He looks over it day after day, week after week. But it's not within his to command the rain or to give the prosperity and the blessing of a harvest. He has to wait for the patience on the Lord. He has to leave the whole matter with his God. That's what we've got to do likewise. When we follow the Lord, yes, our reputations can be at risk as we follow him. People will say all kinds of things against us simply because we profess the Lord. But if we look after the Lord and his honour, the Lord will look after us and our honour. We are bombarded with problems day after day. Distracting, disturbing problems and threats. But we can squeeze them out of our thinking by delighting in what the Lord has done. And committing all that we can, rolling our troubles on the Lord. Commit our way to the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. And again, we've got to be careful to understand what this says. It says, be silent and wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord's wisdom. Wait for the Lord's intervention. It doesn't mean rest in the sense of stopping and doing nothing. But what it means is lean upon the Lord. Lean upon the Lord. And sometimes that can be very, very hard to do. Especially as we've been thinking there, an answer doesn't come. We don't get an immediate deliverance. Sometimes we can start, well, so-and-so was making problems for me and difficulties for me, and he keeps on doing them. And sometimes there's the temptation to badmouth that person, to think ill of him. And sometimes there is even the danger of harboring hard thoughts about God. Sometimes when we're in the midst of these kind of problems, we can turn to the Lord and say, Lord, why me? Why now? Why this? That's the kind of problems that the psalmist is discussing and setting out and giving an answer to. Rest in the Lord. When all of these problems bubble up in our soul, when we've got to look out and cope with problems tomorrow, what the psalmist is saying is, hushed be your spirit. Be silent before the Lord and patiently wait for his time, and he will make his way plain. The psalmist again says it in Psalm 62, wait with patience and expectation upon the Lord. Rest in his ways. He doesn't always answer the immediate way that we want him to, or on the timetable that we think we need. A silent tongue not only shows a wise head, but also a holy heart. Rest in the Lord. Three more very quick ones and we're finished. He says in verse 8, cease any anger. As you see things unfolding round about you, as you see all these problems multiplied, and you find people talking about you and such like, there always is this danger of entertaining hard thoughts about them, yes, and about God. And the one counter that we have is simply to think again of what God has done for us, because we've got no complaints about and against him. We stand on mercy's ground. We experience the gracious provision of our Lord, lavish and full as it is, every day. Remind ourselves not what we once were, but what we now are. And as we do that, we will tune our hearts to the praise of our God. Cease from anger. And then we have going down to verse 27. The very last verse we read there this evening. 37 and verse 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Remember what happened when Lot left Sodom. He didn't even give a backward glance to where he was going from. So it is with ourselves. When we're called upon to depart from sin, it's not open to debate or discussion what we do and how we're going about it. There is no negotiation required in this process that faces the Christian. We're told, depart from evil. Full stop. End of sentence. It's not as if we say, well, it's okay, we're going to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and then the other days, we can just do what we like. No. We are told, flee from it. Flee from it and keep hold of what we've got already talked about, the good things that God has flooded your life with. Because when we do that, then we will keep the high ground and we will continue to delight in what he gives to us. In this situation, when you're facing troubles and problems, there's always a danger, as we've been saying right away, always a danger of negotiating, discussing, well, how far can I go and get off with it? I like doing this and I want to do this, and how many times will I be caught? These are the kind of thoughts that sometimes you hear people talking about. Well, think of the great pictures that we have in the art world, some of them at least. They're worth a fortune. Some of them have been stolen. And these stolen pictures They cannot be put on the wall for public display. You cannot invite your friends round and say, look at what I bought, look at what I got. No. All of these things that we get when we give in to temptation, they're like stolen fruits. They can't be enjoyed by anyone else. Not in your home, not in your friends, nor anyone else, because they're stolen. The pleasures that are there available are short-lived, but the rewards of grace are eternal. Depart from evil. And then the last bullet point he gives us in verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Keep going. Keep going in the right path. Don't flag. Don't be discouraged. Don't be distracted. Psalm 133 speaks about the servant of the mistress. And the servant of the mistress is sitting there watching very carefully the hand of her mistress. And watching just for the slightest indication that something is wanted or needed. Just a point. And immediately the servant picks it up and goes and does what is required. That's the kind of obedience, diligent application that is required of us. Wait in obedience as a servant. Wait in hope as an heir. Wait with expectation as a believer. But wait upon the Lord. Going back again to the book of Deuteronomy, this time to chapter 11. There Moses is saying, look, I'm not speaking to those who are strangers to these things. I'm not speaking to those people who have heard it second hand. I'm speaking to you. Because you have known what it is to be brought out of Egypt. You know what it is to go through the Exodus. You've seen God at work and he's done these things for you. This is what Moses is piling up on these people. And he says, very well. There is therefore in verse 8 a conclusion. Keep walking. Keep obedient. Go ahead in the way the Lord has set before you. Don't waver. Don't stray, left hand or right hand. Keep going in the way that is correct. Keep his way, and he shall exalt thee. So we've run through these bullet points. The puzzles of life can be shown in our face as well as felt in our soul. We need protection. We talked about these bullet points. An illustration will just come back to me. It comes out of the crofting, farming mentality and thinking. But sometimes to protect against danger, what do? You put up fence posts and you put wire around it. Well, that's exactly what is happening here. Fence posts are being put up. These principles, these bullet points, they're set out for us. They're there for our protection and to take them to ourselves. And if we take them and apply them, at the very end of this psalm, what does he say? I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. He passed by, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. And then he contrasts that with this. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright man. For the end of that man is peace. The Christian has that quality of peace, an abundant of peace, no matter what's going on round about us. No matter what circumstances we've got to go through. No matter what temptations are barking at our feet and at our heels, we have this assurance of surviving simply because of verse 40. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. Strength to keep going. Wisdom to make the right assessment and decisions. And at the end of everything, all we've said tonight and all that the psalmist says to us, the end of it is this. The Lord is on our side. He is our help. He is our Saviour. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name once again for the way in which thy word is a living book we can take with us out into life tomorrow. We can apply it to all of the things we've got to face up to, decisions made, situations to be confronted. We bless thy name, O Lord our God, for the wisdom and understanding thou dost give. And we pray that we might all the more consistently walk in thy ways, know thy blessing, and the taste of peace the world knows nothing about. Bless us together, we pray, pardoning us our sins once again, for all our hope and confidence rests in Christ alone. Amen. Let me just simply revise the intimations that were from this morning. Service in ex-Lord's Day, 12 noon, 6:30 in Port Mahomack. Preacher John McPherson. Sunday school's on holiday until the 20th of August. Midweek meeting Wednesday at 7:30 via Zoom. And there was that meeting of the Trinitarian Bible Society I mentioned this morning. Friday the 18th of August, 7 o'clock in the Inches Primary School in Inverness. Let us conclude our service tonight then by singing in Psalm 37 itself. Psalm 37 itself from verse 3. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord and be thou doing good. And so thou in the land shalt dwell and verily have food. Delight thyself in God, he'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trust it bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display, and he thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord, patiently wait for him. Do not fret for him who, prospering in his way, success in sin doth get. Psalm 37, 3 through 7, set thou thy trust upon the Lord.
Love.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.